we present News Quiz of the Year with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to News Quiz of the Year, an irrelevant look back on the year's news, possibly typified by this cutting which Peter Stord of Camberley saw in his local paper back in March.
A special feature of the new Bracknell ice rink due to open in September this year is the fact that the ski slope will run into the back of the building.
And in a year that brought you revelations that the Prime Minister watches 13 television sets, and that's just to keep track of Michael Grade, we bring you to my left the editor of Private Eye, Ian Hislop, and cartoonist and writer, Willie Rushton. And on my right, a trifle delayed but due any moment, broadcaster and radio critic of the Daily Telegraph, Gillian Reynolds, and erstwhile editor of Punch, now editor of The Listener, Alan Corran. And so to round one, which we begin with this cutting sent in by, among others, Robin de Maumont of Chelsea.
In 1927, I lived with my family at No. 2 Gironde Road, where we were involved in a very severe explosion early in the morning of the Sunday before Christmas. It was caused by a leaking gas man in the roadway.
They can't hold it, you know. Our first question on the year's news goes to Ian Hislop. Ian, how did a Democrat's swan song borrow a little help from the valleys?
This is Joseph Biden, is it, Senator Biden?
Yes, that's right.
Who got caught making an incredibly impassioned speech about why no Biden had ever been to university until himself. And this rang a few bells in the States, partly because it's such a lousy speech. And they realised he'd nicked it from Neil Kinnock. So he was accused of plagiarism and he said, I quit, which he nicked from Gary Hart.
Princess Michael of Kent is writing his memoirs. This all refers to the short-lived political career of Democratic candidate Joe Biden, who was tumbled pinching hunks of a Neil Kinnock speech as his own. You'd have thought at least the Samaritans would have talked him out of it, but apparently he would have got away with it if he hadn't continually blamed Irangate on Roy Hattersley. At least Biden will be remembered, if only as the first disgraced American politician to be caught with his trousers up. And we welcome Willie Rushton to the programme with this question. Willie, why were one of Ronnie's jokes better read than spoken?
Oh, is that some reference to Reagan suddenly indulging in Russian humour?
That's right.
They normally do Polish jokes in America, but because Gorbachev was coming, they did Russian jokes. And I can't remember one of them. Nor indeed could he. I believe he hasn't one. Or to Q. In fact, he couldn't remember that Gorbachev was coming at all. Who's that?
Didn't he do the Let's Bomb Russia joke? That's a favourite one of his. No?
Yes. That's a very good
joke.
Oh,
it was a joke.
That was one of his best jokes. And fell on deaf queers. That was a misprint. I'm sorry about that.
Another report in The Guardian.
Yes.
And while we wait for Gillian, here's a question for you, Alan. What have Viscount Linley and Captain Mark Phillips not got in common?
Oh, this is the Whizzing Royals. Is it not? I mean, this is all this motorway stuff. And Linley and Phillips have been bombing up and down the M4, bouncing off cat's eyes, at ridiculous speeds. And I think what they don't have in common is clean licences. They may not have licences at all. I'm not too sure. Or they may simply have notes from their respective queens and princesses to say they've had a bilious attack. But whatever it is that they have that commends themselves to Princess Margaret and Princess Anne has been taken away from them. The rest I leave to your imagination.
Well, the answer is it's a speeding record, because Viscount Linley was convicted of speeding and Mark Phillips wasn't, which many have said merely goes to prove that there's one law for the rich and one law for the even richer. Contrary to recent news, however, Fergie wasn't the first of the young royals to be awarded their wings. Viscount Linley got his for passing his driving test. But now, here's a question that I'm going to throw open to the entire group of us here, and it's something you've all waited all year for.
So if you chance to meet him when walking round the town, just shake him by his fat old hand and give him half a crown. His eyes will beam and sparkle, he'll gurgle with delight, and then you'll start him laughing with all his blessed might.
Well, fascinating, wasn't it? Well, it was really a race there to get the lights on, and Alan won it.
We didn't even try.
We haven't pressed on yet.
Alan gets to get the question. Alan, where did an old bill show a new prophet?
It's semi-mad Anderton of Manchester, is it not? The Maharishi Mahesh Anderton, who wishes to flog people with a crown of thorns. Jolly topical, that. It's probably him.
It is him. Yeah. Anything to add, chaps, for a bonus?
No, I like to think in the Mirror. I think it's the Sunday Mirror, which suggested that what was the point of flogging criminals unless they were going to privatise them? Who will buy them? I think they should be sent back to Australia to celebrate the bicentennial.
One bonus point, Willie Rushton. And at the end of round one, the scores are Ian 2, Willie 3, but Alan in the lead with 4. It's round 2 now, and returning briefly to the police, we make no apologies for repeating this wonderful cutting from earlier in the year.
Sergeant Mike Brooks, chief of the two-man Scilly Isles police force, has received his first issue of riot gear, a pair of flame-proof bootlaces.
And our thanks again to D. Bates of St. Clair and G. Watchman of Torquay for spotting that in the Daily Express. Another question now for Ian Hislop. Ian, who was told, don't eat in the subway, darling?
Don't eat in the subway, darling.
Don't eat in the subway, darling.
This is a banana question, isn't it?
It is a banana question.
I tried to answer this one programme before and got it wrong.
Now's your chance to redeem yourself.
It's something to do with Fawn Hall.
It is indeed.
Fawn Hall was caught shredding a banana in the subway. A top secret banana. I've actually no idea. Fawn Hall.
You've got it right. Well, don't complain. You're going to get absolutely right.
Right, 2 points. That's tremendous.
Well, right. I don't understand the answer, though.
It all refers to Fawn Hall, the security-conscious secretary of the Pentagon's ultramarine, Ollie North. And the young lady was fined for eating fruit on the Washington subway. And earlier, Ms. Hall convinced the Irangate hearings that Colonel North was a man with absolutely no scruples. She put them through the shredder too. And ultimately, they were both shown to be quite stupidly honest. As opposed to Reagan, on the other hand, who's honest. Well, I won't go on with that. Of course. But, Willie, as you've, it's your turn, inevitably, for a question now. Here's your second one. When did the Russians see less of their TV star than we did?
That's a fascinating question. And what a good question. I'm so glad you asked it. When did they? When they saw... when Gorbachev. Gorbachev spoke on American television, and made some reference to his later wife making all the decisions, which was naturally excised when shown on Russian television.
Absolutely.
Or something like that. That's a very boring answer, but true.
Yes.
It's very good. I mean, we don't mind truth.
Oh, right.
Excellent. Well, answer.
They couldn't do it the other way round, though.
The answer, you had absolutely right. It all concerns the internationally broadcast TV interview, heavily edited for Soviet viewers, given by Mikhail Sevnyerich Gorbachev, currently the only man more obsessed with PR than David Steele. In an uncommonly frank discourse, he admitted that he tells his wife everything in bed, which is fine for him, but Reza hates having to hump the blessed bed around. Incidentally, the KGB have no worries about security leaks, as she is a safety, Reza. And they thought the good old days was dead. And we pause for this cutting from The Observer, sent in by Mel Bradshaw, concerning Christmas orders.
Orders received by the 11th of December will be dispatched in time for Christmas. Allow 28 days for delivery.
And now a musical question, which I'm going to throw open to the panel. First one, with a hand on the buzzer, gets to answer it. And here's the music. Willie, you got there first with a buzzer and...
No, I just thought before Corin, I would buzz before the music. I thought that was quite a good idea. Otherwise, he's in like Flint.
Here's the question. Who got his own back with a spotless reputation?
Ah, that's Geoffrey Dumpty-Dumpty-Dumpty-Dum. Yes, that's him. That's Geoffrey. Right. Yes. When they suggested... Well, actually, it turned out... No, I won't tell you. No, I just
haven't heard
further facts. No, no, it's all right. No. My lips are soiled.
Unlike his back, which is perfectly clean. It's an everyday story of non-leg-over folk, isn't it?
Yes.
Is this so woman, this blind prostitute, who only accepts commissions for men who have the price in Braille on their back?
Nice easy question for you now, Alan. Where was a square red with rust?
Ah! This is Matthias Rust, who is an enterprising, if perhaps idiotic, West German who escaped into Red Square in Moscow, being extremely silly. And they impounded his aircraft and did all sorts of things to his scruples, I've no doubt. And at the time of going to microphone, I think he's still there waiting for a white Christmas, which will probably be in the gulag or somewhere.
Yes, they pitched him into the gulag.
Yes, both gulags, possibly.
Currently, his parents, I believe, have flown to Moscow legitimately in order to try and see him for Christmas.
Well, they've all landed in Red Square. Hundreds of rusts descending.
This actually is pronounced Rust, I'm told.
Only right. In the north of England, I believe.
The answer is Red Square, Moscow, London, W1A4WW, where the young West German Matthias Rust landed his light aircraft. We understand he is now planning an even more improbable stunt, landing in Spain during the annual air traffic controllers strike. And at the end of round two, the scores are Ian 4, Alan 6, but Willie triumphantly in the lead with 7.
Ah!
And it was one of those moments that makes life really exciting in broadcasting. I must tell you, listeners at home, that we have just been joined by Gillian Reynolds. Well done, Gillian. Thanks for being here. Apparently, she landed in Red Square by mistake. And it took all that time to convince Gorbachev she should be on the news quiz. Anyway, we open round three with this cutting from the Bath and West Evening Chronicle concerning a local worthy.
He lives in Perlewent Drive, Weston, and is married with 2 ground-up children.
Thank you to Mrs. Clements of Bath for spotting that. And now another question for Ian, his love. Ian, where was a luxury pad unsuitable for swinging cats?
This is very exciting radio, Ian. You've obviously done a lot of it.
It's called suspense, Willie.
Oh, I see. Right.
This is a flat in Knightsbridge. Which was the size of a broom cupboard and cost almost as much as my flat. It's, what, 11 foot by 10 foot? And the bed came out of the wall and they wanted thousands of pounds for it.
That's right. 35.
And some yuppie was prepared to... Oh, 35. Is that worth a bonus?
Yep.
No.
No, okay, it's 58.
38.
And they wanted to sell it to a yuppie who obliged.
Oh. I can't really usefully add to that. It does refer to the 6-foot by 4-foot Knightsbridge cupboard that was put on the market for £38,000, described as a compact neo-Georgian detached roomette, which boasts ensuite newspaper lining, fully fitted coat hooks, and a feature bucket. Upstairs, commanding prestigious views over the landing carpet, it is situated the granny flat stroke utility area, which doubles as a shelf. All of which poses a problem for next April. How much poll tax do you pay for a single broom? Willie, your turn for the ritually humiliating musical clue.
Appears like those things you get in a glass ball paperweights and you shake them and snow comes in.
Patrick Moore appears.
Well, tired of his own dendruff. He's wonderful. Yes. Yes.
Oh, Oh, I'm awfully glad we asked him. He's lowered the tone enormously. However, the question is this. Who went bananas aping a Cosmin?
That was that splendid Russian monkey. Well, it can't be a Russian monkey, I suppose. It must be an African monkey that's gone over. But, that was it. I don't know the name of the ape. It was probably Rust. Rust 2. But that's what he was. And to get a banana, he turned everything off, didn't he?
Yeah.
The whole thing malfunctioned, all that sort of technical jargon.
Quite right. It's all about the Russian monkey in geostationary orbit over the Leningrad banana forests, who was seen on television disregarding orders and falling about the controls of a Soviet space capsule. He was last seen veering off course, presumably trying to land in Matthias Rust's back garden. The procedure was all part of the experiment to see if an infinite number of Reagans with an infinite number of typewriters would ever type anything that made sense. And now a question for the born-again Gillian Reynolds. Gillian, who left the theatre of war for another stage in his career?
Oh, it couldn't be our Ron, could it?
No.
It couldn't be? It could be, paranormal influences are reaching me.
Good.
And it says Edward here. Could it be Prince Edward?
It could be.
It could be. He left. I wish my paranormal influences would speak up here.
You couldn't read shorthand.
No.
It looks like he left the manures.
I thought you said Manuel.
left the Marines. Left the Marines. This is
our own showbiz prince who wishes a career on the news quiz and wants your job, Barry, actually. Are you aware of this?
He's welcome to.
He doesn't have the engaging speech impediment, but he's up there pitching.
He does turn up on time, usually.
And while we're on the subject, we've raided the cuttings archive. Well, we took the lid off the bin, to resubmit an appropriate item from last spring, as spotted by Sue Merriweather of Paignton in the Torquay Herald Express.
It's still not known if Prince Edward is to leave the Marines, but his mother, Mrs. Jean Fraser of Rommelkirk, said it wasn't true.
The mother's always the last to know. And finally, this round, Alan. Who was the best of a bad bunch?
Well, that was that rat bag that filed 400 different names for share applications. Keith Best.
Right.
Worst of a bad bunch, indeed. I can't remember much more about him. Whichever share issue it was is the one I can't remember. It's probably BP or...
Telecom.
Telecom, yeah. Was it? Yeah. Could have been anything.
And he filed 6 different addresses.
What can you expect of a man called Keith, I ask myself?
I think 6 different addresses is a good idea, actually. You've got to keep moving if you're going...
Nowadays, they all want Keith Best back. Anyone applying for a share issue would go down well.
And at the end of round 3, let me read you the scores, which are quite interesting. Gillian, who has joined us rather later than we expected, is 2... Ian, who was here from the very beginning, is 7. Alan, through a series of mischances and nothing to do with him, is 8. And Willie Rushton, first time programme, is well in the lead with 9. Round 4 now, and this cutting from the Northamptonshire Evening Telegraph.
Labour's Jack Ashley rejected allegations that Lieutenant Colonel Alistair Macmillan ruled the 4th Armoured Division field ambulance with an iron fish.
Well, I prefer that version to the other one. However, thank you, E. Jenkins of Rushton, for that. Ian, a thrusting, probing, political issue for you, but first... Ian, who was given a break away from Spain?
This is Joseph and Mary, isn't it? On the way to Bethlehem to pay the poll tax.
That'll do for one.
If it's not that, it's... another donkey, Blackie the Donkey.
Right.
Which was in Spain and was being ill-treated by villagers. They were going to stone it to death. I don't know what for, adultery or something, I should think. And the newspapers in this country, particularly the Sun and the Star, got very, very upset by this on behalf of their readers, this appalling cruelty to animals. And they went and tried to get Blackie back into this country, which is usually quite difficult getting anyone called Blackie into this country at all. But somehow they did or didn't manage it. I can't remember the end of the story. But Blackie wasn't stoned to death and was saved, all thanks to the Sun, who don't deserve any applause at all.
It's all happened in Villanueva de la Vera, and in a Duff Week for News, and little donkey Blackie, brackets 19, was rescued from a...
His interests are skiing. Charity work. Skin diving.
I know you skirted around his measurements.
No, thank you. Well, I said this all happened at Villanueva de la Vera, and in a Duff Week for News, where little donkey Blackie, brackets 19, was rescued from a violent Spanish ritual by reporters from the Sun and the Daily Star. Well, that's how desperate they are for bingo prizes. The donkey was apparently spotted on the beach taking tabloid readers for a ride, and the journalists feared that their jobs were in jeopardy. Understandably, Blackie spent the rest of the year trying to escape back to the safety of the violent Spanish ritual. And a final question for Willie Rushton. Willie, who made demands of millions to meet his makers?
Ah. Well, no. I was thinking of something else entirely. So the meet his makers suggested death.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the demands of millions.
Sure.
Is that silly man... Oh, that one. I was thinking that loony liberal peer who was going to... have his body sewn into mince morsels by Clement Freud. He's going to be chopped up and given to bad spot. But not at all, no. It's thing. It's old oral. Oral Roberts.
Oh,
oral Roberts as opposed to fun.
It was all about the Reverend Oral Roberts, American TV evangelist, cosmetic redeemer, and founder of the Church of the Latter-day Accountants. Who claimed that God instructed him to collect $5.3 million from the faithful or take the one-way swim in a concrete cassock. After a disappointing response, Mammon's answer to James Anderton said he'd negotiated a better deal, $50, or he'd be sent completely loopy. Clearly the demands were never met. However, a final wallow now in typographical nostalgia as we rebroadcast this story from the Daily Mirror.
A car firm is looking for someone to walk along the wings of an airborne plane as part of a promotional flying stunt. Experience is not necessary, but applicants must have a strong stomach and a head for heights. A spokesman said, "It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity."
And our thanks to Tony Garner of Romford for sending in that. And a final question for Gillian Reynolds. Gillian, who pulled the royal leg over members' colourful attire?
Gosh.
And it concerns the word of the year.
No, there's a stuff... I couldn't...
Has it got to do with that word that didn't used to be said on radio or television?
Yes.
Begins with
Branson.
A C and ends with a M. Yes?
Yes.
Yes? And has it got to do with the Duke of Edinburgh talking about contraceptives?
Yes.
It does, yes. And if we all used them, we wouldn't have to worry so much about poll tax. And the Duke of Edinburgh was plainly thinking about this when he urged the entire universe to adopt their use.
Well, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't. He subdivided the universe. I'm sorry I couldn't write anymore. I've been in Christmas cards for 2 days. Look at that corn. Yes, I mean, he wanted them all colour-coordinated, didn't he? I seem to remember that.
That's right, yes.
Indonesian colours.
Tartan ones for the Scottish people and things like that. This week would be nice with holly-decorated ones. Let us not conjure with that thought, but turn to Alan Corran and your last question. Alan, who didn't want the end of the pier going to the dogs?
I think this has been adumbrated by William Rushton.
Yes, I get more points. I answered that already.
This is the story about the end of the alliance. It's about Lord Avery.
Eric Butterkey was once.
Yes, he was.
He wanted to send himself to charity, enriched with marrowbone jelly. I mean, he said, when I finally snuff it, as the alliance goes down the tubes, and the best thing that happened to a liberal is to end up being eaten by a Pomeranian or something. And he wanted to give his body to Battersea Dogs Home in chunks.
A bit rough, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes.
It's all about Lord Avebury, of course, who requested that after his death his body should be souffléed for the residents of the Battersea Dogs Home. Or, as he put it, laid out like a dog's dinner. They weren't too keen on the idea, but as he explained, it wouldn't be the same just scattering remains about the place, as the dogs will keep bringing him back into the house. And that's where we mercifully conclude proceedings for the last time this year, except ask Ian Hislop what, if anything, has titillated in the press this year.
My cutting concerns the Church of England. It says, in future, no anonymous accusation should be levied at any clergyman, whatever his rank in our church. When this takes place, it leaves a nasty taste in the mouth. If the writer or accuser cannot or will not quote his name, he bears no credence whatsoever. Signed, Anglican.
Willie, what have you got for us?
From the Galloway News. This is, unfortunately, a typographical error in last week's letter from Marcia Shearer of Gatehouse, defending the Greenham Common women against the unwashed allegation, nullified the writer's main point. This was that showers were available in the Quaker rooms and many nearby houses, not flowers, as was printed.
Gillian, what have you got for us?
I've got something from those wonderful men who gave you the right prediction on the hurricane. Okay, this is from the Daily Mail, and it's Ian McCaskill speaks in the Daily Mail. And it says, Northern Ireland and England, with the exception of the far southwest, were spread east and north to all areas. Now you know why it happened.
And finally, Alan.
Well, I have to go right back to February for my favourite, Barry, from the Southend Evening Echo. It says, a woman arrested as a prostitute claimed that she was too short-sighted to ply for trade. Mrs. Margaret Friend, 48, said she was almost blind in one eye and vision in the other was blurred. She told Southend magistrates, I can only see if someone is right on top of me.
Well, at the end of the contest, I can tell you that this week's winner is Willie Rushton, which is very nice because it's his first time with us. Yay. Well done, Willie. But by no stretch of imagination could anybody be the winner of this series except Alan Corran. Well, we'll be back with a new series of the News Quiz in 1988, so wishing you a happy new year, we leave you with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph TV column sent in by John Fox.
Our own Leslie Ann Down fills a very large part as Madeleine Lamotte, the wronged Southern Belle, abducted by and rescued from her hated husband, Justin. Her cleavage is clearly the South's secret weapon. Gene Simmons is in there too.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in News Quiz of the Year were Ian Hislop, Alan Corran, Gillian Reynolds and Willie Rushton. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The programme was written and compiled by John Langdon. The producer was Dan Patterson.